The words of God given to us today are Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. It is page 40 in the Old Testament. Genesis 28, 10 to 22. Allow me to read the words. I'll extol. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I'll give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, the which used to be called Luz. When Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth. Amen. It was a long time ago. I once saw a picture on someone's personal website. The photo was neither a photo of a famous artist they were familiar with, or was it an award-winning photo at a competition with global prestige. Rather, it was an extremely ordinary photo that can be seen anywhere. However, the photo caught my eye for a while, and there's a reason why it left an indelible memory in my mind, even though many years have passed since that day. It was because of the one-liner below the photo. Let me explain a little bit about that picture. Four people, including the two children, a boy and a girl, are taking a peaceful stroll on the beach in the dazzling sunlight. Behind them are a cobalt sky and white clouds, and a blue sea and pure white sand spread out. And the four people with beautiful bright smiles walk in the same direction. And below the image was the one-liner mentioned earlier. The family of God is great because they are looking in the same direction. Perhaps the admin of that website was a Christian who values everyday life. He thought of God in his life, even in a picture that could have just passed by. Rather than being distracted by the beautiful natural scenery that was visible, he reflected on the invisible God's family hidden behind the image, delivering his brief but a clear confession of faith in the Lord to the unspecified number of website visitors. It is said that the eyes are the windows to the soul. How we look at, how we think, how we interpret, and ultimately how we act are very important aspects of our faith. That's right. God's family is great. Not because each of us is great, but because the God who makes us who we are is great. God's family is great. This is because the great Word of God, which is the eternal truth, lives and breathes in it. God's family is great because each member of us stands facing the same direction, looking to the one and only Jesus Christ, our great God. On the contrary, if we do not depend on the God who makes us who we are, if the Word of God within us is gradually fading away, if we are in the same room but each of us turn our head and look towards different directions, then we're someone who hold a noble and great name and title Christians, but in reality, we'll be living without showing any strength, power, or inspirational way of living. Then one evening, we'll leave this land in vain, in the face of death that comes like a dagger. The one-liner has since become a message that shaped my idea on family, but also all my hopes for the future. The family of God is great. The church of God is great. Our future as children of God is great. Because we're walking in the same direction, with our eyes lifted up, looking straight towards Jesus Christ, our God, and the one and only. How are Jacob's family in today's text has lost all these? Their reliance on God have long since disappeared, and instead of living the Word of God, their thoughts and words prevailed. Instead of looking towards the same direction as a unified family unit, each looked towards separate directions of their own liking, dreaming different dreams under the same roof. As a result, the older brother decided to kill his younger brother, and his father Isaac and mother Rebecca, who belatedly got themselves together, threw Jacob on the road they have never walked before to save their son Jacob. However, God, the true Father, did not forget about Jacob. God remembered Jacob. And he came to Jacob, who for the first time in his life was having the most fearful, terrifying night, and held Jacob's right hand, as Isaiah had said, and delivered the words of comfort. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Jacob, who had dreamed of God, opened his eyes and made a great confession of faith, as in verse 16 of today's text. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. What do you think is the most important word in the verse read to you? Most of you probably say the word, Lord, our God. Of course, for me also, the most important word is Lord God. But from Jacob's perspective, the most important would be different. So what was the most important word for Jacob? It is the Hebrew word aken, which is translated as surely. Translated into Korean, this word means truly, sincerely, surely. Growing up, Jacob must have heard many stories about God from his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. In particular, Abraham and Jacob lived under the same heaven for 15 years, so like a normal grandfather, he loved and cherished his grandson Jacob very much, and always prayed and hoped that this child would grow into a personal faith in God. And he must have put young Jacob would like to stay at home at every chance, to sit on his lap and tell him many stories about the living God who worked in his daily life. But to Jacob, that God was someone far away. The reason is that God is not someone that can be known through the story of his grandfather. This is because God is not someone who can be learned through lots of knowledge or information. Because God is the one who reveals himself by opening the gates of heaven little by little, only when we have met him in person. That heavenly gate is unquestionably our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus can we enter that door and meet the living God. However, such a gate of heaven had now opened before Jacob. It was not through his own efforts or actions, but single-handedly God's love and grace. Until then, God was the God of Jacob's grandfather and father. Jacob only met God through their stories, but now Jacob's soul was awakened to the fact that God was already in front of his eyes, God was right next to him, and that he was his God. While his life was being threatened by his older brother in the midst of greatest crisis of his life. With the COVID, we've been through a really tough time over the past 2 years, we still don't know how much longer we have to be here. However, if we lift our eyes and see the God who is with us in the midst of this hardship, if we can meet him in our daily life, no matter how difficult it is right now, but one day we'll find ourselves on that beach and look at the dazzling sun, blue sky, and white clouds as we reflect on our lives, we'll surely look back on this situation and confess that this moment was a blessed period through which we met God. The confession is made possible not by our will, but by God's word of promise that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Fellow Christians, like Jacob's great confession of faith, do you believe that God truly lives in this moment? Do you truly believe that God is always with us? Do you truly believe that God is receiving our worship at this moment, whether on site or at the places we live? After having dreamt of and experienced God and his presence in the middle of the night, Jacob couldn't get a deep sleep anymore. No, he might have stayed up all night until the next morning with his eyes wide open. When the dawn finally arrived in the morning and the blue sky began to appear in his sight as he lay facing in the sky, Jacob must have looked up at the sky and remembered last night's dream. And in resolution, he got up, putting down a stone he had been holding before God. This was the best expression of faith that Jacob could give to God at the moment. Because that stone was everything he had depended on all night to protect his own life. There is something we can learn from Jacob. Before God, if we lay down the things we've been holding on to, the true journey of faith with Him begins. And God fills me with God's work as much as I surrender. Then Jacob set the stone as a pillar, as a way of worshiping God, anointing it with oil, and named the place Bethel. Originally, the name of the place was Luz, a place of escape, similar to his situation, but it has been transformed into Bethel, a house of God where God is present and protects, where no one can violate him. As expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Those who have met God in Christ will be able to reinterpret even the space where they stand on their feet in the new meaning, in the Lord. What's visible is a place of suffering, a dark and desolate wasteland full of stones. But now that we've met God, we see the world beyond the visible. And the place of suffering is an awe-inspiring sanctuary. It becomes transformed into the house of God. Our walks with God in our daily lives means not only transformation of our bodies and minds, it also gives new meaning to the space we live in, the Lord ultimately accepting it as a field of life that we must serve. Dear fellow Christians, as Christians, we have three most important homes, houses in our lives. One is our home, the other is the church, and finally, the eternal kingdom of God, the house of God. Today, I'll tell you about our home and family. I said that Genesis, the first of the 66 books of the Bible, can be divided into two parts. The first, from chapters 1 to 11, is called the original history, and the second, from chapter 12 to the last chapter 50, is called the history of the patriarchs. The original history contains the universal history of mankind, while the history of the patriarch depicts the story of one family, starting with Abraham, continuing through Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So does the story of the family appear only in the history of patriarch, beginning with chapter 12? Not quite. Even in the first half of Genesis, the original history flows through the center is the family. So there is a saying we often hear, in the beginning, God established the family first, not the nation, society, or church. To that extent, our home is God's space that is so precious and important to God. This is because the starting point of any society or nation is a family, and God started all human history through that family. However, Adam and Eve, who formed the first family of mankind, disobeyed God's expectations. The family sinned. And the older brother, Cain, killed Abel. Their descendants rebelled and eventually had to face God's judgment. But God remembered one of them, Noah. Through Noah and his family, God began a new human history. However, as the years passed, even their descendants fell into the trap of collective spiritual pride, eventually building the Tower of Babel to raise their name and showing false confidence in God. The Bible teaches us, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. However, sinful humans turned their gazes away from God, eventually living for their own name and glory. In the end, God, who scattered all mankind due to the Tower of Babel, began to shine a ray of light, illuminating all mankind to one person nobody knew. And he brought that home onto the biblical stage. His name is Abraham, the father of faith we know very well. The Bible tells us in detail as Abraham emerges, the original history ends, opening a new patriarchal history. The great stream of salvation from God is delivered through the story of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're currently staying with Isaac's family in the midst of that stream. Sadly, however, Isaac's family also didn't face towards God in the same direction, but faced away in different directions. What about our homes? Compared to the homes in the Bible, are our homes beautiful community in God's eyes? Are we building righteous homes founded upon God's word, the truth? Are you walking in the same direction today in love, cherishing each other? We can't criticize Jacob and we can't criticize the families in the Bible. Why? Isn't it because they're just like who we are? I started the sermon on the Genesis on the first Sunday of Advent, November, 2 years ago. At that time, I asked a fellow Christians a question. How are you getting on with your children and parents? Is our family a community that truly loves and cares for one another in God? Today, I ask you again, is our image possibly the image of our father Isaac, who has lost the spiritual authority in the family for a long time? Are we not the image of Rebecca, a mother who eavesdropped on her husband, telling her children to do as she says, pushing their children to the wrong path? Aren't we Jacob, who in order to receive God's blessing, used the cunning method instead of walking on the right path, being left alone on an unfamiliar road in the end? Aren't we Esau, who is indifferent to God, taking him lightly, living his life as he pleases? Big brother threatening to kill his young brother, and the couple's conversation is absent. Isn't this what we are? If yes, we must restore ourselves and our family. One of the important messages that Jacob's story gives us is the reconciliation and restoration of a family. Jesus came to this earth to reconcile us with God. And Jesus has become an eternal bridge that will not perish. If our life is to follow the path Jesus has walked, then we too should become the people of reconciliation and restoration in our homes and where we stand like the Lord. There are many family stories in the Bible But today, I would like to introduce a family that is not mentioned in the Bible, but who's building a beautiful family in God. This person is a foreigner and has a beautiful relationship with the Lord, and has a beautiful relationship with our church as a family and a fellow Christian in the Lord. Her name is Miss Evie Priscilla Welburn, the granddaughter of missionary Arthur Welburn, buried in Yanghuajin. In March of last year, she was registered as a cultural, she gifted a document that was registered as a cultural property by Seoul City. The first time I met her, it was January 2019. I was on a business trip to the United States and thought it would be good to meet up with Miss Evie, the granddaughter of missionary Wellborn. During my ministry, I had the opportunity to meet many people. And during such meetings, there is one precious lesson I learned. How important it is to pray to God before meeting someone. That day also, I prayed before meeting up with Miss Evie. I pray that God be present during our conversation. Thankfully, it didn't take long before my prayer received answers. It was because of the unexpected words uttered by Dr. Hyun-Soo Kim of the Esther Foundation, who accompanied me during the meeting that day. Doctor introduced me to Miss Evie, telling her that I had lived in Japan for nearly 10 years. With that one word, our initial awkward conversation suddenly began to flow. She asked me, "Oh, is it really?" So she said that she also lived in Japan for a while while she was in high school. As a common question, I asked where she lived. Then she said she lived in Yokohama. At that moment, I could see that God was already with us in our conversation, because I too had lived in Yokohama in the past, and it was a very special place for me, almost like a birthplace of my faith. Within minutes of our meeting, Miss Evie and I started talking about Yokohama as if we were old friends. After talking for a while, she abruptly told me to wait for a while and entered her room. She came out with an album from her high school years when she was living in Japan. She kindly pointed out each picture and explained them to me. The photos contained the old townscape and streets of Yokohama, which have not changed all these years. However, there was a place where my gaze lingered. It was a small note below each photo. Looking at those writings, I could vaguely see how much she treasured the memories of the past that God had allowed her. With that in her mind, when I imagined how she treasured the materials left by her grandfather, her meticulously organizing them, I began to well up. But at that moment, a number suddenly came to my mind. So I asked her, "Do you also have anything from 1919? Then she asked, why do you ask? I answered, because the year 2019 is exactly 100 years from 1919. As you probably know, 1919 is a very important year for our country. It was the year of the March 1st Independence Movement Day. To commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Independence Movement Day, Korea is preparing for many ceremonies and events. In 2 months, Yanghwajin Cultural Center, run by our church, is also prepping a Yanghwajin history lecture on the March 1st Independence Movement. For that reason, I'm very interested in 1919, I replied with a smile. Then she also smiled and entered the room, and this time she came out with a white box with the number 1919 written in bold with a pencil. Together we opened the box. Inside, the independent newspaper, which became a cultural asset last year, had been kept for the past 10 years, waiting only for this moment. To be precise, at the sound of us opening the box, the history of the Republic of Korea, which had been sleeping for the past 100 years, finally started stretching itself and began to wake up. 2 months went by. For Yanghwajin history lecture, I shared a meal with the director of the cultural center as well as the lecturer. During that meal, our conversation naturally flowed into the story about the 1919 material, and the instructor mentioned that he was one of the few experts in Korea regarding the materials from 1919. So he could assess the cultural value of the material. The next day, I emailed him the picture, and he said that it was something that he had never seen before and that it had sufficient value as a cultural property. To me, his words were felt like a sign that God's words are valuable enough. Felt like a sign of God's words. The cultural value of the material was enough as a cultural asset, and I could proceed. I submitted the application around this time in 2019 to get it assessed at cultural property. Due to COVID, it took a long time, but 2 years later, in March last year, it was registered as a registered cultural asset in Seoul. Since its confirmation as a cultural asset in March last year, I sent a long email to Ms. Avi, informing her of the news, with the email subject line, an anecdote I can finally reveal. The email started with a story of my prayer, standing in front of Ms. Evie's front door. It also listed the processes that have taken place over the past 2 years. I shared my joy, delivering God's precious and beautiful presence amongst us. And at the end of the email, I wrote Ms. Evie the following, "Madam, according to the Seoul Metropolitan Government, the Joseon Independent Newspaper, which is highly regarded, even more so than our newspaper, has not yet been designated as a cultural property. Our independent newspaper is the first case of receiving a designation as a Seoul cultural property. So the Seoul Metropolitan Government decided that it was necessary to designate it as a national cultural property through a full investigation of various materials published during the March 1st movement, including Joseon Independence newspaper. Of course, it is unclear whether they will see through the process, but I'm sincerely praying that God will intervene in this matter one more. That's because, yes, I do hope our newspaper become a natural cultural property with greater authority, but more because I hope that all Korea's precious historical resources related to March 1st independence movement that had been previously buried find new breath of life. This work cannot be compared to the passionate heart of your grandfather, Missionary Wellborn, who came to Korea and woke many Koreans who had been asleep, and his dedication and hard work to do so. Nonetheless, it's because what my heart desires the similar. If Dr. Hyun-Soo Kim didn't tell you that I lived in Japan, if you didn't share your experience living in Japan during your high school years, if I didn't ask where you lived in Japan, our independent newspaper would have kept asleep longer. Since you and I had both lived in Yokohama, we conversed like old friends. And as an extension of that conversation, I saw your high school album, and that's how the number 1919 came to mind through God. Afterwards, the lecture confirmed the value of the newspaper, and it became a cultural asset. Looking back, I cannot confess that our God was with us in all of this. And I'm omitting the email in the middle. I bow my head to convey my deep gratitude, respect, and love to all of the Wellborn family who have preserved this newspaper, which became a cultural asset for the past 10 years. We'll do our best to become the 100th anniversary memorial church, Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, Yanghwajin Cultural Center, and Yanghwajin Archives that manage, preserve, and deliver for the next 100 years to come. I hope that God's grace and love will always be with you and your family. In response to this email, Ms. Evie sent the following email. Dear Pastor Kim, thank you for sharing the good news about your newspaper that my father picked up on a hill in Pyongyang many years ago. Even though my father was young, he recognized the importance of the newspaper he had found and the fact that he kept it safely in his possession for many years and that he gave it to me without any explanation until I found an honorable place in Korea, its homeland. Now that I think about it, it's quite surprising that I kept it safely in my possession. And if you hadn't acknowledged the importance of the newspaper, without the dedication to making it honorable, this newspaper would not have been able to occupy that prestigious position. Whenever he had time, my father would bring me the newspaper and show it to me, and would tell me how he got it. But it seems that his father wasn't quite sure what to do with this paper either. Neither did I. But God was working with us to keep this newspaper and to help many people read it and understand its importance. To everyone who has been involved in this process, thank you. And she ended the email with the following last line. It is a beautiful ending to the story of family heirloom from a lovely childhood. As I was reading this email, a verse from the Bible came to my mind. The word from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Miss Evie's father, Pastor Henry Wellborn, when he was 15 years old, handed a piece of paper that he picked up from a hill in Pyongyang to his daughter. Miss Evie, without any explanation, the family that was made one through the Holy Spirit felt the weight, severity, and sense of duty of that history. And Miss Evie, who has treasured a newspaper in her possession for a long time, delivered it to our 100th anniversary memorial church, another family that the Holy Spirit brought together in God's name. The family became a valuable channel through which independent newspaper was returned to Korea and found its place. As a result, our church got to carry the baton and start a new 100-year history, embracing their hearts. If her father and daughter had not become one, didn't look in the same direction in God, such a new work would not have begun. Today, I told you a story about God's house, our family. If Christian home was different from the worldly home, what would that be? Families around the world also talk about love, reconciliation, and peace. Of course, love, reconciliation, and peace are not unimportant to us. But if we only live for them, what will distinguish us from other homes? What we can learn from Miss Evie's family is that God, the Holy Spirit, must unite our families with a band of peace. And we should be thankful for God's providence that made us one. And we should do our best to protect it. In other words, our family should stand in the same direction as we fully look to Jesus Christ, the one and only. If we summarize the series of events that had taken place in the past in Isaac's family, betrayed God's expectation just like Adam and Eve. But even through such family like Isaac's, God, who's more truthful to his word than anyone else, has faithfully fulfilled the promise of the covenant. If you look at each one of them, they are all incomplete. Nonetheless, God made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the father of eternal faith. The story of their family is flowing towards the end of Genesis as a huge stream and is now before us. Going forward, what we must do is to write a new history of our beautiful family in the Lord. It is our duty to look towards the same direction. Thank God for the providence that made us one, and strive to protect it. God never gives up on the family He established first in this world. Therefore, until the day our Lord comes back to His earth, the huge stream of family will flow endlessly wide, embracing the stories of countless individuals. I hope that in the midst of that stream of water, our families will be built into the beautiful house of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the master of our home, thank you so much for reminding us how our home is a precious God's space by God's establishment of our family in the beginning before establishing nation, society, or church. In this age when many families are falling apart, please make ours a Christian home, called through a noble and great name, a beautiful alternative in this age. Make it a family that loves, respects, and cares for each other, as well as praying for each other in the Holy Spirit. Please make it a community that protects the wonderful providence that the Holy Spirit has made us. Grant us the grace to write the history of God through our family. Also remember Miss Evie, whose effort is constant in organizing and delivering the materials left by her grandfather. As a companion to our church and a good family, let us remember together in protecting God's word and continue developing the beautiful relationship that remember and strives to keep the things that the Holy Spirit united in us together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.